Are we witnessing the weirdest moment in economic history? We're witnessing a lot going on with this economy, such as Urban Outfitters CEO says the retail carnage proves the bubble has burst. But anyways, let's get into this article. It is an unfortunate reality that most people tend to be oblivious to massive sea changes in geopolitics and economics. You would think that these events would catch the immediate attention of everyone as they happen, but usually it is not until they realize that the microcosm of their personal lives is subject to the consequences of the macrocosm that they wake up and take notice. Apologies, I figured I'd zoom in so we could all read it. It was tiny. There are, however, ways to train yourself to pick up on signals within the news cycle and within political and financial rhetoric. Signals that indicate a great shift is perhaps on the way. Sometimes these initial signs are subtle. Sometimes they are as subtle as a feminist slut walk. I would point out that over the next few months, there are dangerous correlations so numerous and blatant in the economic sphere that I would almost rather watch a marching gaggle of frumpy feminists wearing nothing but electrical tape than bear witness to the mayhem that is about to strike the unwitting public. What am I talking about? Well, let's go through the list. Federal Reserve meeting on March 14th through the 15th. As my readers well know, or know well, I have been warning since before the election that the Fed would use a Trump presidency as an opportunity to pull the plug on near zero interest rates and remove a primary pillar supporting stock markets. Stock buybacks made possible by free overnight loans to numerous banks and corporations. Without QE and low interest rates, the equities bubble will inevitably implode. Corporate earnings certainly aren't holding up stocks, neither is GDP or consumer spending. The Fed is the only determining factor of the ongoing bull market. Anyone who claims otherwise is probably a mainstream analyst or overzealous day trader with a vested interest in keeping the illusion going. It is not surprising to me at all that the rate hike odds for March have been increased by mainstream analysts to 90% in the span of a week. I don't know why anyone uses these arbitrary odds as an indicator of anything. I've been receiving emails all month asking me if I still believe the Fed will hike rates while the odds are so low. Look, the Fed does not make decisions at these meetings. They make decisions months in advance, and the meetings are window dressing. Too many people operate under the delusion that the central bank wants to continue propping up stocks, which is why they cannot grasp why the Fed would raise rates. In reality, the stage has been perfectly set to allow the bubble to implode. When the elites have a perfect scapegoat, they use it, and conservative moments represent that perfect scapegoat today. The important thing to remember, though, is the timing of this particular meeting. U.S. debt ceiling suspension ends on March 15th. So in case you weren't tracking the economic situation 2 years ago, the U.S. government almost went bust in a sense in 2015. The debt ceiling sets limits on how much the government can borrow to fund itself, and that limit was hit hard under the Obama administration after he managed to nearly double the national debt during his tenure. Congress passed legislation to allow borrowing to continue until March 2017, and of course, much of that capital was borrowed from the Federal Reserve, which, of course, creates it out of thin air. With the return of the debt ceiling, the question is, will Congress be able to extend and delay again? With Trump running on a platform of fiscal responsibility, can they extend again? Do they even want to, or is this an engineered crisis event? Once again, the timing of all this is a little odd. The Fed is raising rates into their first year of the Trump presidency, leaving equities increasingly open to destabilization. In addition, the government might not be able to continue borrowing from them, or there will be a renewed extension, but the cost of borrowing will run much higher. In either case, this month seems to pronounce the beginning of something, a considerable move away from the standard operating procedures that the elites have been using for the past several years. With such changes come consequences, always. Formal initiation of Brexit on March 15th. French elections start on April 23rd and they end May 7th. Potential Italian election move on April 30th. German federal election is held on September 24th. If you thought 2016 was weird, I suggest you get comfortable with the surreal, because it is not going away anytime soon. 2017 is a veritable treasure trove of falling elevators, and I haven't even covered half of the issues facing the economy this year. But what about the macro analysis? To summarize it, it seems to me that many of these events, stacked so closely together, are not coincidental in their timing. As I've noted in articles such as The Economic Endgame Explained, globalists have been openly planning for decades to set in motion a vast financial overhaul and the launch of a single global economy and currency, the seeds being planted starting in 2018. If this is still their timeline, then it would follow that they would need a series of fiscal earthquakes designed to shake up the old world order, to make way for a new world order. This is rather interesting because if you look at the multipolar timeline, it's kind of lining up with what he's saying here. It's really interesting because we've just entered into this multipolar world where we have brand new superpowers and everybody is at each other's throats already. So anyways, you guys know we don't go off predictions and things like that. And I've been trying to tell everybody, look, you need to stop worrying about the imminent doom at this very millisecond. What you need to do is look at the long game, because that's what the elites are playing. The author who wrote this post is the same author that predicted Trump would be president. He's been pretty spot on with this. So now we're looking at this. And of course, he's saying 2018 is when the seeds will be planted, starting in 2018. That actually lines directly up with a multipolar world order, as we've been going through. We're in phase three. Of course, it's just going to keep getting more and more chaotic. And things are just speeding up. Now, with this, Urban Outfitters CEO says retail carnage proves the bubble has burst. If you think there are too many stores out there, the CEO of Urban Outfitters agrees with you. On a conference call to discuss the company's poor fourth quarter performance, CEO Richard Hain likened the retail industry's current travails to the housing bubble of the 2000s. That burst painfully for the whole economy. Now, Michael Snyder, who is another author that we've been, he does the Economic Collapse blog. We've been reading a lot of what he's saying about, of course, the retail apocalypse that we're witnessing right now. And now you've got Urban Outfitters, the CEO of Urban Outfitters is coming out and saying something similar, that the bubble's burst. Stores, particularly those focused on apparel, are grappling with drops in foot traffic in the order of 6% a year. And an increasingly promotional environment as consumers shift spending away from clothing, the surfeit of which has made it a commodity. That, coupled with years of overbuilding, has led to dismal comparable sales results for specialty clothing stores and department stores in particular. Now, I just want to mention something else real quick here. We're seeing similarities in both politics and the economy of things that took place right before the Great Depression. The first person that says the economy will never collapse, literally, just go over news stories from today or the past few years and look at what's going, look what took place right before the Great Depression. There's a very stark similarity. Now, Joint Viking is a military drill that's going to bring training to the Arctic Circle. Why in the world are they training at the Arctic Circle? Norway, B Troop, 1st Squadron, 91st Cavalry Regiment, 173rd Airborne Brigade forward deployed to Norway to participate in Exercise Joint Viking, an exercise which brings together reconnaissance, infantry, armor, and artillery assets for a NATO joint and combined arms exercise, stimulating high-intensity warfare in challenging Arctic conditions. For the past several weeks, paratroopers of B Troop 1-91 Cav have conducted partnered classroom and cold weather environment training alongside soldiers of Norway's Northern Brigade, receiving instruction on a variety of skills critically important to conducting operations north of the Arctic Circle. The importance of Joint Viking is twofold, said Captain Thomas Hunes, commander of B Troop 191 Cav. Expanding our capability to fight in Arctic or cold weather environments is extremely valuable. At the same time, as a U.S. Army Europe-based unit, we have great opportunity to train and interface with NATO allies. Exercise Joint Viking takes place over an exceptionally large geographic area, with a maneuver area covering more than 200 square kilometers of forested and mountainous terrain. Looking to the future, we don't want to wait until we are having to operate together in a combat environment to learn how to integrate and be effective. Joint Viking is a unique opportunity to conduct maneuver operations over an extremely large maneuver space in a multinational setting, said Hunes. Paratroopers of 191 Cav have received specialized instruction in the employment of BV-206, all-terrain tracked personnel carriers, cold weather tents, emergency stoves, and cold weather injury prevention. in preparation for live fire training and maneuver exercises as part of Joint Viking. Further, B Troop has taken advantage of opportunities to train in winter search and rescue. Paratroopers of 191 CAV participated in practical exercises covering methods of conducting area searches for victims of avalanche events, learned to identify areas with high risk of avalanche, gained additional experience utilizing emergency personnel locator beacons in search operations, and refined methods for conducting area searches in the aftermath of an avalanche. Why in the world is the U.S. Army training above the Arctic Circle? What's going on there? And why in the world do we have world leaders visiting basically the South Pole or the Antarctic? Of course, the Arctic Circle is up north. Why are they training there? What is the interest? Geopolitically, of course, there's a lot of oil and resources to be gained. But there's more to it than that, and we of course know that. There's something to all these drills that are going on up north. There's something to all the military drills that are, of course, that we just covered the other day at Guantanamo Bay. Just as predicted by Clairvoyant, Antarctica will break apart. Hidden past will be exposed. Is this what's going on? Something enormous, epoch-making, is happening in Antarctica. Although the recent visits by heads of state and other high-profile figures to Antarctica remain shrouded in mystery, but there are repeated suggestions that things are changing rapidly there. Perhaps the pole shift is happening at a drastic rate, and something buried or hidden may have been discovered. It is well known in conspiracy circles that the Nazis established a secret base in Antarctica during World War II, and it apparently involved the UFO-type aircraft being secretly developed. Though no one with any position authority has ever dared to confirm these developments in a major public way. The U.S. launched a massive military operation after the war in Antarctica, led by Admiral Richard E. Byrd. And of course, we've gone over this several times. And they were met with superior military force that ultimately repelled the American expedition. Massive secrets were suggested by the operational secrecy, and the buried accounts and the unfinished business at the South Pole. The Russians, too, were involved in territorial disputes and expeditions before the international treaties brought quiet to the South Pole front. With the recent melt and cracking of the ice, which is expected to lead to the release of an iceberg the size of Delaware, there is reason to speculate about what we might find in the least explored and least understood landmass on the globe. And of course, just outside of Antarctica, sits something very strange. It's called Rothschild Island. It's an island 39 kilometers, 24 miles long, mainly ice-covered, but surmounted by prominent peaks of Desko Mountains in Antarctica, 8 kilometers or 5 miles west of the north part of Alexander Island, in the north entrance to Wilkins Sound. You've just got to ask the question, what in the world is so important about the South Pole or about Antarctica that they are trying so hard to keep secret? Inside NASA's daring $8 billion plan to finally find extraterrestrial life. You got it. A congressman, a billionaire movie director, and an unparalleled mission of discovery. I want to point out one word. Two words, sorry. Deep in the solar system, a darkness has spread over the grim, airless field of ice that threatens to swallow us. Night has come to the nightmare glacier. But then we see the shiny spacecraft with its four gangy legs, extending outward to find purchase on the jagged ice. Within, scientific instruments begin to blink on, one by one. Soon they will start sniffing for any hint of life on this most alien and mysterious of worlds in the solar system, the Jovian moon of Europa. Through the hollow lens each of us wears, we watch the simulation of what might happen about 15 years from now on the icy, forbidding moon. The otherworldly illusion is shattered when a voice booms out. It's John Culberson, a conservative Republican politician from Texas. He wants to know what happens if one of the blinking instruments fail. Not to worry, he is told, all of the spacecraft systems are redundant. Good, Culberson replies. The immensity of what you're doing is too important in human history. You don't want to miss this chance. Europa truly does represent a singular chance. Crossing 800 million kilometers with a sizable, robust payload will require vast sums of money. There won't be a second chance, but Europa represents a gamble in another sense, too. No one knows whether NASA will discover a frozen, dead world far from the sun, or if the organization will make the most profound of discoveries, just like below the ice. During the last decade, NASA has recast its human and robotic space exploration programs around the search for life, both in our solar system and beyond. Much of this effort has focused on Mars, which is relatively close to Earth and may have harbored life in the past. Culberson has pushed the agency further to seek extant life. He and a lot of scientists believe the best place to find extraterrestrial life in the solar system lies in deep oceans below Europa's inhospitable surface. During the last 5 years, Culberson has bullheadedly shoved about $500 million through Congress to give NASA's elite planetary probe scientists and engineers a chance to land on Europa. Now in late February, he has come to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in the hills just north of Los Angeles to visit the wizards here who conceived the Voyager spacecraft, developed Cassini and Galileo, and landed Curiosity on Mars. What progress, he wondered, had they made toward testing out the secrets of Europa? Now, I just wanted to point this out here. NASA is going to spend roughly $8 billion, potentially, to finally find extraterrestrial life. Now, of course, we know what this is. They're searching for the Nephilim. Listen, just because I'm reporting on this doesn't mean I believe in ET, okay? I'm showing you what NASA's doing next, okay? Harvard scientists theorize that fast radio bursts come from alien space travel. Could these mysterious flashes of radio waves come from a planet-sized device to power an alien spacecraft? Fast radio bursts, or FRB, are perhaps the most mysterious phenomena we observe in the cosmos. Earlier this year, astronomers announced that they had pinpointed an FRB for the first time in a dwarf galaxy that sits 3 billion light years away. These intense blasts of radio waves last only 1 to 5 milliseconds, and they have perplexed astronomers since the first one was discovered in 2007. The leading theories are the FRBs come from an incredibly volatile cosmic events, such as material being ejected from supermassive black holes, the explosion of a superluminous supernova, or rotating magnetars, the lash surrounding material with their immense magnetic fields. But researchers at the Harvard Smithsonian, keyword, Center for Astrophysics have proposed a much more enticing theory. What if FRBs aren't natural phenomena at all, but rather emit from a massive artificial structure used to power alien spacecraft? They're leading us all to the massive, massive deception that the Bible speaks of. So many people are going to be led astray by what they uncover or find in deep space. Don't be fooled. China warns Trump he is facing a head-on collision with North Korea. Chinese foreign minister scolds Kim Jong-un's regime for its nuclear ambition, but also blames Washington for stoking regional tensions. The United States and North Korea are racing towards a catastrophic head-on collision, China's foreign minister has warned, and amid Chinese fury at America's deployment of a controversial anti-missile system. Speaking in Beijing on Wednesday, Wang Yi said a looming crisis was brewing on the Korean Peninsula. Wang scolded Pyongyang for ignoring international opposition to its nuclear and missile programs, but also accused the U.S. of stoking regional tensions by holding military exercises of enormous scale with South Korea. Well, who in the world is actually being offended by such drills? I don't think it's North Korea. I think it's China. Now, of course, China would be the bigger concern if they are offended or concerned with our drills. But North Korea, on the other hand, they've been lobbing missiles recently. China could do more to stop this, but they're not. Why? Why are both China and North Korea practicing drills against U.S. bases? China says North Korea could suspend nukes for halt in U.S. drills. So is this who's basically doing the negotiating? China's foreign minister said Wednesday that North Korea could suspend its nuclear and missile activities in exchange for a halt in joint U.S.-South Korea military drills. In an unusually public proposal, that analysts said showed Beijing's growing alarm over the tensions. The U.S. and South Korea resisted the idea. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley said the U.S. has to see some sort of positive action from North Korea before it can take the Kim Jong-un seriously. I don't know why I called him the Kim Jong-un. I mean, this guy is a world-class. I'm not going to laugh, okay? Seriously. South Korea's ambassador called linking the annual drills to the North's provocations unacceptable. The ambassador spoke after the Security Council condemned North Korea's latest volley of ballistic missile launches Monday that landed in the ocean off Japan. Now, of course, this situation is still ongoing. It's still fluid, and things are still changing. We see still that the tension in the region could potentially lead to a conflict between China and the U.S. I didn't say North Korea. China is the one who's massively offended by the U.S.'s actions. Ruth Neely, Wyoming judge against same-sex marriage, censured. A small-town judge who says her religious beliefs prevent her from presiding over same-sex marriages was publicly censured by the Wyoming Supreme Court on Tuesday. But while the court said her conduct undermines the integrity of the judicial system, it does not warrant removal from the bench. In a 3-2 decision, Justice Kate Fox wrote that Judge Ruth Neely violated judicial conduct code, but removing Neely would unnecessarily circumscribe protected expression. That's good news. Neely's case has similarities to the legal action against a Kentucky clerk jailed briefly in 2015 after refusing marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples. The case against Clerk Kim Davis, a conservative Christian, sparked a national debate over religious freedom of civil servants versus the civil rights of same-sex couples. Davis ultimately agreed to alter the licenses to remove her name and title. So what's going to happen with this judge? Let's all pray for her. WikiLeaks will help technology companies. This is potentially a problem. So we have WikiLeaks that exposed the CIA massively, bigger than Edward Snowden's leaks. And now he's going to go work with Google and Facebook. That should raise alarms. He's done a great thing. But what's going to happen now? Julian Assange, founder of WikiLeaks, said on Thursday the anti-secrecy organization would work with Apple, Google, and other technology companies to fix flaws that have allowed the CIA to hack into the phones, computers, and other devices they produce. Speaking from London in an online news conference, Mr. Assange accused the CIA of withholding information about the vulnerabilities the agency was exploiting in American technology, even after it realized that documents describing the flaws had been leaked weeks ago. While some companies had already fixed the weaknesses revealed in a batch of secret CIA documents made public by WikiLeaks on Tuesday, Mr. Assange said, others say they need more technical information on the hacking techniques. There's a limited ability to try and produce security fixes for iPhones, for Samsung TVs, for Android phones produced by Google, for Microsoft, for Linux, because the exact technical details are not known, Mr. Assange said. We have decided to work with them to give them some exclusive access to the additional technical details we have so that fixes can be developed and pushed out so people can be secured. Now, of course, in a world where Google and Facebook weren't already violating our privacy so horrifically, this would be a good thing. But what in the world is Assange doing working with Facebook and Google and other large technology companies? I raise a stark question about this. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think about this. It's a very interesting situation because this is huge. But I'll tell you one good thing that we can all take away from this. The encrypted apps or the encrypted emails or the encrypted texts, or the encrypted voice calls and audio calls that that smaller companies have built to override what the NSA was doing, according to what Edward Snowden leaked. They're working. CIA had to go basically above and beyond, and I shouldn't say above and beyond, because the vulnerabilities could have potentially been built by Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and so on, to hack phones, or to hack computers, or even smart TVs. How many people have been warning that Samsung and other companies, or Panasonic, and or these smart TVs, how many people have been warning that the companies were listening in? Now all of a sudden the CIA has basically been also listening in. There's a strange correlation with this, and Assange is basically now going to go work with them. That's odd. But here's another twist in all this. Congress contemplates making it illegal to protect consumer privacy online. Cable and telephone companies are pushing Congress to make it illegal for the federal government to protect online consumer privacy. And we also just had yesterday what Comey came out and said. Privacy is basically non-existent to every American. If you want to be secure, you don't need privacy. You give up freedom for security, you'll end up having neither. When you go online, you reveal a tremendous amount of private information about yourself. What you browse, what you purchase, who you communicate with, all reveal something personal about you. Long ago, Congress made privacy a legal right, so that your telephone company was prohibited from using its position as your communications provider to exploit your personal information. The Federal Communications Commission recently updated the protections to apply when you use your broadband provider. Now, in the near future, Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, and other major cable and telephone companies must get your permission before they can use sensitive information you reveal through your online activity. However, the cable and telephone industry are actively lobbying Congress to not only eliminate your new privacy protections, but to go even further and potentially make it illegal for the federal government to protect your personal information online. And Assange is going to go work with them. This is odd. A Congressional Review Act repeal of consumer privacy would eliminate your right to control your own personal information. Your personal identifiable information is sold like an asset online. Is sold online. In other words, you are sold online. Whether you know it or not, ads are terrible. We've been trying to remove them off the website, but we can't do it unless we get a substantial amount of subscriptions to afford the website and what we do. Artificial human life could soon be grown in a lab after embryo breakthrough. March 2nd. Artificial human life could soon be grown from scratch in the lab after scientists successfully created a mammal embryo using only stem cells. Cambridge University mixed two kinds of mouse stem cells and placed them on a 3D scaffold. After 4 days of growth in a tank of chemicals designed to mimic conditions inside the womb, the cells formed the structure of a living mouse embryo. The breakthrough has been described as a masterpiece in bioengineering, which could eventually allow scientists to grow artificial human embryos in a lab without the need for a sperm or an egg. Do we realize the detrimental impact this could have? Number one, baby farming. Designer babies. Number two, they're going to bring back the Nephilim. Science is actively working to bring back the Nephilim. Whether this organization or the individuals at Cambridge University know it or not, the special interests will use this technology, biotechnology, to create or to recreate the Nephilim. Growing embryos would help researchers to study the very early stages of human life so they could understand why so many pregnancies fail, but it is likely to prove controversial and raise ethical questions about what constitutes human life. How many times are we being brought to this brink of what constitutes as human life? It's not hard. We are not animals, but continually evolution or scientists want us to believe that we are just another animal. If you are in an argument with an evolutionist or a person who believes in evolution over creation, ask them one question. If your dog or your pet was drowning and a random human stranger was also drowning, who would you save? It is the hardest question. I actually went on back and forth with a person who believed in evolution on the website recently. We were, 80, 85 comments back and forth. And he said he would go, it would depend on who was closer, depend on who I can get to first. That is shocking. Think about that. So if a person is drowning, about to die, the individual who I was speaking with would go for the pet if the pet was closer and let the human die. We have a substantial problem, and this is one of the main things about evolution and, of course, science. They're trying to equate us to animals, or that we are all the same. Everything has is life. There is no greater or worse, greater or lesser, excuse me. This is massively incorrect. God created us in His image. We are special. And if we don't understand what where this is going to go, the very second it actually begins to happen on the mainstream in public, it's not going to end well. Just like the very second they actually alter DNA, there is no going back. Just like the very second that man and technology fully integrate, there is no going back. Just like the very second that they create a generalized or general artificial intelligence, there is no going back. Because once those things take place, it will exponentially either grow itself or alter the human germline or the human DNA. And if that human, if that hybrid or that lab-grown human, can't call it a human, it was grown in a lab. Removing the hand of God from creation is a terrible idea, but science continually wants to do this. You have to ask the question, who in the world is funding this? And at what point does it make it okay that we are at the brink of understanding what human life is? Let me go down here. What constitutes human life? It's the simplest question. But science makes everything complicated. We also have chimeras being grown. Animal and human hybrids. Once it's fully done, there is really no going back. Once germlines or DNA gets altered, things are radically going to spin out of control. And it's all by design. Don't be fooled. EPA Chief Scott Pruitt denies human activity has led to global warming as a longtime EPA administrator resigns. Yes. Yes. We've been showing you countless times, or we've been going through a lot lately, how climate change is basically a man-made hoax. Does the climate change? My goodness, it changes all the time. If you go back thousands of years ago, there was no ice at the North Pole. Now we see ice potentially melting again. Oh no, it's climate change. Mankind is to blame. But before the Industrial Revolution, long time before the Industrial Revolution, there was no ice at the North Pole. That kind of throws a wrinkle in it, doesn't it? Because a lot of people want to blame on carbon dioxide. Well, when you breathe, what comes out? Carbon dioxide. They want to get these numbers down to nearly zero. Well, that would mean the eradication or the sterilization of humanity from this planet. Scott Pruitt, the new chief of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, has denied that carbon dioxide was a primary contributor to global warming, refuting the EPA's own website that warns about the harmful effects of greenhouse gases. President Donald Trump's controversial pick to run the agency has been known to be a climate change skeptic, but his statement on a Thursday CNBC interview confirmed the drastic reshaping of U.S. environmental policy that Pruitt's tenure at the EPA will represent. Asked if he believes that members of the scientific community have proved that carbon dioxide was the primary control knob for climate, Pruitt asserted that the jury is still out. No. I think that measuring with precision human activity on the climate is something very challenging to do. There is tremendous disagreement about the degree of impact, he said. So no, I would not agree that it is a primary contributor to the global warming that we see. Good news. This is great news. Look, on my works, ye mighty. Ozymandias statue found in mud. Archaeologists believe 8-meter statue found in Cairo slum is of Pharaoh Ramses II. Now, this is rather interesting because Ramses II is a contender for, of course, the Pharaoh during the biblical Exodus. So did they just find a representation or symbolically the Pharaoh that was in power during the Exodus? Archaeologists from Egypt and Germany have found an 8-meter, 26-foot statue submerged in groundwater in a Cairo slum that they say probably depicts revered Pharaoh Ramses II, who ruled Egypt more than 3,000 years ago. The discovery, hailed by Egypt's Antiquities Ministry on Thursday as one of the most important ever, was made near the ruins of Ramses II Temple in the ancient city of Heliopolis, located in the eastern part of modern-day Cairo. Last Tuesday, they called me to announce the big discovery of a colossus of a king, most probably Ramses II, made out of quartzite. The Antiquities Minister Khalid al-Anani said at the site of the discovery. The pharaoh, also known as Ramses the Great or Ozymandias, was the third of the 19th dynasty of Egypt and ruled for 66 years from 1279 BC to 1213 BC. He led several military expeditions and expanded the Egyptian empire to stretch from Syria in the east to Nubia, southern Sudan, in the south. His successors called him the Great Ancestor. This is extraordinarily symbolic, wouldn't you say, given the times at hand? Now, very soon, we're going to be releasing the next episode in the Club of Rome series. You're going to want to see it. It's all about exposing the special interests and so much more. So much more is within this series. Make sure you become a member and support us at ChristianTruther.com. I want to thank you all for watching and listening. God bless you and carry on.